brute force. If it doesn't work, you're just not using enough. You're listening to Soft Web Radio, Special Operations Military News, and Straight Talk with the Guys in the Community.
Soft Rep Radio, on time, on target. This show is sponsored once again by Pelican Coors. We're so excited to have them on board. Hard-sided coors that are all made in the USA. Most competitors, including Yeti, make most of their stuff overseas. They have an actual lifetime warranty, a wide variety of sizes and colors. If you go on the website, you see the color schemes. 10 different sizes, 11 different color schemes. And yeah, check them out. I mean, so much cool variety, and they just look great. So easy to pull hard latches that aren't rubber bands like the other guys. Pelican is a trusted brand since 1976. The 70-quart cooler can hold ice up to 9 days. Unbelievable. They're light. Other coolers weigh 30% more on average. They have a built-in bottle opener under the lid, ergonomic handles, which make them easier to carry. But to use our promo code and get in on this offer, you got to go to pelicancoolers.com. You can find Pelican Coolers basically everywhere, but this offer is for their website, pelicancoolers.com. What you do is use the coupon code SOFTREP, and what you'll get is a free 22-ounce tumbler. We've been showing you the custom one they did for us on Instagram with the SOFTREP Radio logo. Kicks ass. Add the tumbler to your cart, the 22-ounce one, and use the promo code SOFTREP. You'll get that tumbler absolutely free. Once again, that's pelicancoolers.com. The free 22-ounce tumbler with your order, you add it to your cart. You could find that in the drinkware section at the top. So go to drinkware at the top. Put the 22-ounce tumbler in your cart. Use the promo code SOFTREP. You're going to get that absolutely free. The huge coolers were sent to Scott Whitner to review for the loadout room, but that 20-quart cooler that we have in the corner of the room right there is about as heavy-duty as it gets, and if someone doesn't claim it, I'm bringing that thing home because it looks awesome.
It looks like something that you would lug military equipment around in. Like.
Yeah. It's about as badass as it gets. So pelicancoolers.com, promo code SOFTREP. Support them. They're supporting us, and they're putting out awesome gear made right here in the USA. I am extremely excited to have Peter Guidry on, who was seen in the Chris Bell documentary, A Leaf of Faith, about Kratom. I mistakenly said Mark Bell a few episodes ago, I think. Mark is his brother, who's featured in pretty much all his documentaries. But Chris Bell is the documentary filmmaker. Before we get to him, biggest news is the suicide bomber, which is being covered at thenewsrep.com.
Yeah, in Monbij yesterday, it was, ostensibly ISIS, although it's, you know, these groups all kind of like run together at a certain point, but probably it was ISIS. And they hit a restaurant in Monbij in northern Syria, the Kurdish-held areas, and it killed one Green Beret. There were three other American fatalities. My understanding was one was an interpreter, one was an intel guy, and the other was civil affairs. Jeez. And then there were also additionally two guys who were wounded, and both of them were Green Berets, as I was told, the two WIAs. So that was pretty horrific. We lost four people yesterday. As some of you probably saw, footage emerged of this very interesting helicopter that flew in and evac the casualties. It appears it was probably one of the clandestine helicopters that JSOC has at their disposal. So some information came out about that also. But we're still reporting on that and covering that. I think that, you know, from my perspective, the timing is not an accident. ISIS wants us there. They want to keep us there. You know, Trump is trying to withdraw, it appears, from Syria, even though we're seesawing on that. But it does seem that he wants to pull us out of there. These groups like ISIS and Al-Qaeda, their stated strategy in many cases is to bait us into attacking them. That's why a lot of Taliban elements in Afghanistan rebranded themselves as ISIS. It's to keep us there because they, as long as we're there, they can claim some sort of legitimacy by saying we're fighting these foreigners, these outsiders trying to colonize our country. You know, we're fighting the West, we're fighting imperialism, we're fighting the Christian crusaders or whatever the fuck bullshit stories they want to spin. So it behooves these terrorist organizations to bait America in and keep us there. And when we leave, they have less legitimacy because now they're just fighting their fellow Muslims, their fellow Arabs. And that's how I would perceive that attack. They were trying to send a message. No, ISIS is not dead. Don't go running away quite yet.
Mm-hmm. Obviously, some really unfortunate news and really sad news. But what you're saying on foreign policy actually is reminding me of something I took a screenshot of, and I forgot all about it. I'm glad that you reminded me of kind of the infighting going on in the Republican Party over foreign policy right now. In that I saw
fighting over everything right now.
Well, I saw that Rand Paul tweeted, he was like, you know, and Rand Paul was not exactly a Donald Trump fan when he was running for president, but he was like, Donald Trump is keeping his campaign promises. We need to declare victory in these areas. You know, basically that type of thing. And then I saw, and I think you're probably not going to agree with this, but a former guest of the podcast, Dan Crenshaw, tweeted at Rand Paul, is giving the president bad advice. There are those of us who have sacrificed for our nation who know the importance of this terrorist threat and the need to stay vigilant. We go there so they don't come here. It's that simple.
It's really not that simple, though. I mean, these are very complicated countries, and we're wading into cultures and conflicts that we're not really stakeholders in, and the local population knows that. And we don't necessarily understand the drivers for these conflicts. And even if we do, we're certainly not prepared to address them. I mean, we're not going to stay there and institute some sort of Marshall Plan for Syria. I mean, come on. Like, we're going to rehabilitate that place like we did to Berlin after World War II. Like, get fucking serious here. I mean, I'm going to have to disagree with Dan. But I mean, Dan also did not really elaborate too much there. I mean, that's a very bland statement to make.
I was going
to
add to this, too. So that was the post on Twitter because I remembered there was more to it.
Okay.
It's not much more, but this was the caption he wrote for that, you know, screenshotted post on Instagram, which is at Dan Crenshaw TX. Thus far, the president has found the right balance for our wars. Avoid nation building while keeping a special operations presence to maintain pressure on a very much alive enemy. Please do not veer from this course, Mr. President. Our troops' sacrifices must not be in vain.
Well, I'm not sure it's so much Donald Trump's position. I think he inherited these wars. I don't think he feels any obligation to sustain them because, you know, it's Donald Trump. You know, he was the outsider. He ran on that. He never made these. He was not a politician previously to this. So he wasn't making these decisions like let's invade this country or that country. So I don't think he feels morally or ideologically tethered to these wars in the same way that maybe somebody like, you know, a George Bush or a Bill Clinton might. But that said, I think Trump inherited these wars, and he is to some extent a victim of the institution he works for. He's a president. He's not a dictator. And I think he would pull us out if he could, but he's finding out what a quagmire that is.
Yeah. And also when I read that caption, it's one of those strange things because Dan Crenshaw is a guy who's fought in these wars. Dan Crenshaw is a guy who nearly made the ultimate sacrifice. He lost his eye. And, you know, it does make me wonder from that perspective, is it, you know, was this all done in vain, that hits home?
Well, I mean, that's the sunk cost fallacy. The idea that we have already poured so much into it, so we need to keep pouring more and more into it. I mean, it's like Vietnam, you know, just keep sending more and more troops. And in the end, it's a strategic defeat anyway. How many American lives do we keep throwing away on a hopeless endeavor? At some point, you have to make the mature decision. Even though we served in this conflict, Dan and I both did. We both have, you know, our hearts in it. We, you know, our blood, sweat, and tears invested in it. But how many generations of future Americans do we condemn to the same fate simply because we have trouble letting go?
You know, what's kind of interesting to me is that Dan Crenshaw's position, at least from that tweet and Instagram post, is actually, I think, almost the opposite of a guy like Mark Boyatt, who we had on, who's like, we need to nation build. I feel like that was his position. We need to stay there for several generations.
Yeah.
But in the same way, we've had a presence in other places. And Dan Crenshaw is saying we need to be there, but we don't need to nation.
Right, which means the problem goes on forever.
Yeah.
Because these insurgencies will go on forever until the local issues are resolved. The issues of corruption, poverty, all of these things that involve the nation state has to resolve or at least attempt to address for people. So if you're not going to resolve those issues, that just means the insurgency goes on indefinitely. So my question for someone like Dan Crenshaw would be, what is America's national interests in each of these countries where we have troops deployed? And what is your strategy? What is your plan? And what is the end game that you're hoping to accomplish here?
Mm-hmm. And by the way, he addressed this on the podcast with us. You know, it's been a while since I heard it before making that best of. But while I was making the best of, you know, he made the same exact argument with you. And when you said, like, how long do we stay there? Are we there forever? And I remember Dan's response was like, yeah, we've had a presence in Germany. We've had a presence in Japan.
Yeah, it's a little different, though, isn't it?
I would agree. I would agree with you. Yeah.
Where you have stable first world nations with experiences in governance and democracy and freedom and all that good stuff, all that jazz in well-developed countries like Korea, Japan, and Germany. And we have formed an international partnership or an alliance to work with one another. Okay, that's one thing. But occupying by force foreign countries in the Middle East and with this sort of haphazard strategy, like maybe we'll stay there for 500 years and they'll turn into a Jeffersonian democracy. Yeah. Like, that's not a strategy. Like, we owe it to ourselves and our country, and we owe it to our troops to offer something better than that.
Well, I see that we've connected actually with Peter's wife, Kelly, on Skype.
Okay.
I think it'll just be Peter on with us, but although they are both the co-founder of this organization, both Air Force vets, so
cool.
Let's get right into it. On with us is Peter Guidry, former Security Forces Air Force Airman and co-founder of Forgotten Not Gone, which is a veteran for purpose organization out of Las Vegas. Their mission is to stomp out veteran suicide and find alternative therapy for veterans. The other co-founder of Forgotten Not Gone is Peter's wife, Kelly, also former Air Force, who we just got to speak to for a couple of minutes before bringing on Peter. The main thing I really want to get into today is Kratom, because the way that I became familiar with you was from the documentary A Leaf of Faith, the Chris Bell documentary. But before we do, I would love to just get into your background in the Air Force and where it all began.
Yeah, well, I went in the Air Force. It was just a childhood dream. Both my grandfather served and a few of my uncles served in the military. And so I had the privilege of being a Security Forces member, and that's where I met my beautiful wife. She did Security Forces as well. And that's how initially everything just started from our military service. But during that whole process, I had got injured, you know, doing that that line of work. And my aftercare of, you know, leaving the military, that's when things start to spiral out of control. And that's where, you know, brings us to today and the story behind that.
And could you tell us a little bit about your injuries?
Well, Security Forces. So my primary specialty in the beginning was an M60 machine gunner. And we worked in the restricted areas guarding the priority A resources, nuclear weapons of that nature. And so just the day-to-day grind, carrying a 44-pound weapon, rucksack, the different things that was detailed, your knees break down, your back. From that experience, my my internal system was all thrown off, the hormone levels and things like that. But my body just spiraled out of control, and all I ever got during the military service was narcotics to be able to deal with the disabilities. I didn't get, you know, physical therapy, rehab, things of that nature. And so I started having side effects from the actual medicine as well, start throwing up blood. And literally, I just started getting sicker and sicker for a period of time until, finding kratom.
And how did you get hooked up with Chris Bell when he started this documentary?
One of our, actually our neighbors who has Urban Ice, owns that company, Mr. Kelly Dunn. You know, he had saw our nonprofit in his same building where we were running our nonprofit out in North Las Vegas. And he just always saw us riding our bikes. And one day he got locked out of his place and he ended up knocking on our door. And, I ended up telling him, or he saw the products and ended up telling him I was taking that. And he told me he was the owner. And it was just a blessing to be able to meet him. But just the way we met him was just it was weird. Just again, he got locked out of his house. But from that period of time, I was able to meet the owner of Organic Ice, and I was already taking his product a year prior to that. And so since that point, he started donating to our local veterans. The Urban Ice Organics have been giving us a lot of free samples for our veterans to try. And 2 years later, that's how that documentary, came to be. From that initial meeting.
I was doing a little bit of research myself because I had never heard of kratom until Ian was telling me about it, actually. And I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit about what that actually is, because it correct me if I'm wrong, it comes from a leaf from a plant out of Thailand, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, exactly. It's just a natural product. They capsulize it. The particular brand that I take is triple tested, and that was the difference of some of the other brands that you may have, heard about. Some of the people, other people that are, buying in bulk the same product, they're making it out of their basement, and had some contaminants or things of that nature. But
because it's completely unregulated, right? Isn't that the reason why? So people are just making it left and right.
Yeah, just like, many other natural supplements, you can order in bulk and repackage them and things of that nature. But the particular one that we have and with the leap of faith that I've been taking is actually in a laboratory, pharmaceutical, and then it comes already packaged to the company. So nobody's actually making it in their house or, at a local store.
Since you're based out of Vegas, is this like a big thing there right now? Because I could tell you here in New York, I'm starting to see a few gas stations here and there that say, like, we sell kratom, but it's far and few between. However, when I was in South Florida, you cannot go anywhere without seeing Kava Bars, which is, based out of Kratom. And Kratom. And I think it's because, unfortunately, that is, like, the place that people go to recover from opioid addiction. And, they're looking for any alternative they could find. Has it caught on in Vegas?
It's still new. How I actually met it was a local company. It's called Pure Health, mom and pop stores, probably, 1,500 square foot place, and they had the display there. So I wasn't a person to go to a smoke shop or anything of that nature. And so I made it through a regular, supplement store, 5 years ago now when I started taking it. But those same people that a mom and pop team that work owns that store, they taught me about juicing prior to that. So I learned about the Gershon juicing. That helped me stop throwing up the blood and helped me start bouncing back for these disabilities that I had. So I entrusted them to at least, try the kratom from the beginning, because they had helped me with some other disabilities I was working through.
But to expand on that, because I was asking what kratom is, but I still don't really understand, like, why would you take it? Like, what's it do?
It's a natural pain reliever. Mm-hmm. Basically, same type of category you were saying is pain relief, maybe as an aspirin of that nature. But like for myself, I have GI issues. And okay. So all the other medicine they were giving me was causing me to throw up blood even further. And again, that's why I was spiraled out of control. So the kratom has allowed me to come off the oxycodone, all that zombie dope. And now I'm just getting a hold of my pain just enough to be able to use my recumbent trike and then get that that release that I need to get. I'm really angry a lot of times because I'm just, like, when I woke up this morning, I'm having these sciatic pain, I'm having these spasms, took two kratom pills. It was just enough just to relieve that burden for me so I could start moving forward with my life. And that's what kratom's been for me, just that that little bit of hope to, you know, allow me to get out the house.
Without that deadening effect that comes with opiates, I suppose.
Yeah, and the actual particular one I take, I got behind me, the Magda one. This is has a little bit of energy behind this particular blend right here. But this is my favorite strand. And like I said, Pure Health is originally who introduced me to this product before I knew about organic ice. It was just a regular mom and pop store here in Las Vegas.
And so I assume you're on Kratom right now as you're talking to us. You seem completely coherent. So it's not it's not something that gets you high. It's not you know, like a narcotic or anything.
No, far from it. Like I said, it says kill the pain, not the patient. You know, and that's the whole thing. Well, we're educating as far as our nonprofit as well. We got to educate our veterans better how to manage and better manage their pain. It doesn't always go away, the actual physical pain. If you think about our Vietnam era veterans, Vietnam was 50 plus years ago. But those guys are still suffering from the same disabilities that they received back in the 70s, right? And sure. So how do we help our veterans be able to maintain on a daily function without being drugged up on their narcotics? And like in my instance, the same medicine they were giving me to control the spasms I'm having, it says right there, causes vomiting. So if I already have issues with vomiting blood, I mean, literally, I lost 20 pounds throwing up blood.
Wow.
Why would you give me a medicine to control spasms, but I'm going to be throwing up blood? You know, and it really, and this is the first time since leaving the military, I was medically separated in 02. And until I found Kratom with Forgotten Not Gone, my life was an absolute mess. And so that's what Kratom's done for me, not necessarily worry about the pill so much is what it's allowed me to actually do, because now I'm controlling my pain a lot better.
So what's crazy about the whole situation and watching A Leaf of Faith is that we're talking about this. This is a natural supplement. It doesn't get you high. It seems to be having a positive effect on people like yourself. And yet there are politicians that want to make this completely illegal. And it's confusing, because from what I saw of the documentary, at least, and of course, Chris is like an advocate of this, so I'm not going to say it's a completely unbiased documentary, but there's, I think, one case of that kid who committed suicide, but was on a plethora of other stuff, some antidepressants. Yeah. And so it just, unless there's, you know, tons of documented stuff, there's people dying far more of cigarettes, alcohol. Like, it's kind of mind-boggling of why they would want to ban this completely, unless it's just all about the government making more profit. You know, regulating it, I could understand, because as you're saying, people are making this in their basement, and the supplement industry, as we all know, is very unregulated, so they could just mix this with all types of fillers and who knows what's in it, so that's why you got to go to a reputable source. But the idea of making it illegal, I really don't get.
Yeah. And, you know, last time when they made it a Schedule One controlled supplement a few years ago, that within that same 30 days, they had came out with some type of pharmaceutical product that had that component of Kratom in there.
And so that's it. I guess just the difference is the fact that it's not FDA regulated. So, doctors can't prescribe this. But if it's having positive effects, Why not have people try this out before they get them on opioids or something?
It sounds similar to the debates we've had about, you know, medical marijuana over the years.
Yeah, except the only difference is it's not impairing you. I mean, I assume right now you can go out, drive a car, you know, do whatever you want to do during your day on Kratom and wouldn't be any different.
Yeah, you can follow our progress. We have a Strava app, and you can see where we're riding in Las Vegas, where we're all over the place. I mean, we're literally controlling our pain. At the end of the day, we have some things we're embarrassed about and disabilities, limitations. I want to move forward with my life, though. I don't want to sit in a VA hospital talking about all things wrong with me.
Yeah.
Kratom is allowing us to control the pain and get out the house, you know, and that's what it's all about. That's our actual slogan, get out the damn house.
What are some of like the other stories you've seen of veterans you're working with who have had a positive experience using it?
Well, our local, teammates that ride with us, they use it as well. And the same stories, a particular young lady had just posted on her social feed about it relieving her migraine headaches. And she was depressed, you know, and a lot of doom and gloom stuff, story that she had. But the Kratom's been able to help her now just finish. She just graduated UNLV, the college, has a sociology degree in December over here. So got a control of her pain 2 years ago using Kratom. now graduating with your bachelor's, going to your master's degree. That's what we need to do. We need to find solutions to help, you know, our veterans, but also our community move forward. And that's what Kratom's been really able to do, is been able to help some of those people control the pain that's causing you to want to, you know, inject yourself with heroin or something of that nature. And now you would find enough relief from the Kratom to where, hey, I don't need all these other self-destructive measures I was finding comfort in before.
Yeah, it sounds excellent to me. So let's get into your organization, Forgotten Not Gone. As you were saying, you guys are riding all over Vegas. What? Because I've seen the videos. What exactly is that stuff that you guys ride in? It's interesting.
Well, they're called Velomobiles, Velomobile recumbent trikes. So just like I'm sitting right now, you're in a recumbent position. And so the pedals are actually in front of us. And so it allows me to overcome the spasms and the pain I have with my back, because I'm sitting down. And then now I don't have to worry about my vision issues and things because I have three wheels. So I'm safe. I'm secure in the bike. We have the shell on them. So even like it's raining right now, I'm getting outside. I got electric assist on the bike. So even when my knees go out, everything that's wrong with me, I'm able to overcome that one pedal at a time. And they're just incredible bicycles.
And you guys ride around on those, not just you, like several people who I guess have other, yes, you know, similar issues.
Yes. So we're a veteran peer support network, just fellow veterans serving one another. It's really just that simple. At the end of the day, you know, we got a doom and gloom story to tell you, but I don't want to bore you. we're just moving forward right now, and this is how we're moving forward. The Kratom got me out of the bed, off the couch. The bicycles gave me something positive to do instead of, you know, going to the local bar and self-medicating.
Yeah,
I'm with veterans all day long. We're riding bikes. And this is the first time since leaving the military that life feels like worth living another day.
And what are you guys doing with Forgotten Not Gone? You know, because I know it's a veterans organization, 501c3. What exactly do you guys do?
So we're actually moving, supposed to have our grand opening of our new location on February 3rd. And we're going to be located right across the street from the North Las Vegas Airport at a commercial center run by a Army veteran over there. We won't hold that against her. They're still good people. But yeah, they were generous enough to give us a space in there so we could run our kids programs and have a meeting spot. Because since last February, we lost our original location that we've been in operating now the last 30 months. And so we got over 40 bikes right now, but they're stuffed away in shipping containers, and we have to pull them out and, you know, with our transport them to the local parks to meet everybody, which is a chore. And so we're just looking to expand this coming month, start getting our program, be able to have our weekly rides again. If you go to our YouTube channel at Forgotten Not Gone ORG, you can visually see us riding the bikes. We had something called our Saturday Night Survivors Ride. And every Saturday night for over 3 years, we would meet up at the last location. And whoever's riding that day, Forgotten Not Gone, provided a free recumbent trike for that veteran or their family. And we get on those bikes. We go downtown Las Vegas. Instead of us necessarily going to bars and, you know, having fun, we're right next to the bars, pedaling next to it. We're on Las Vegas Boulevard, Fremont East. You know, the same thing that tourists come spending thousands of dollars to our community to see, we're able to experience that on our recumbent trikes, just having fun. And that's just the opposite of being depressed. We just keep it simple, you know? Keep it simple, stupid. That's what they taught us, right?
And I would assume with the logo, you know, on all these bikes, it also just raises awareness for the main cause, which is veteran suicide, which is alternative therapy for vets. And I would think people see that, they want to get involved. I mean, if I just saw you guys riding around on these trikes, I'd be like, what the heck is going on here? It raises interest.
That's right. And that's what's helped me overcome the labels that the VA placed on me. You know, when I went to like the War-Related Illness Center, they said you got PTSD and this and that. And just 6 months ago, I lost my mental health provider that I had for over, you know, 3 years. Just all of a sudden, I showed up to my appointment. She's no longer with the VA anymore. I was like, you know, wow. Somebody could at least call me or something. And so this new doctor I have to see over there, and they're saying, well, you know, you got PTSD. You got to take these pills. And it was just a horrible experience just 6 months ago. And, you know, I praise the Lord that my wife was able to come to the next appointment and talk to her and able to articulate a little bit better. But from that point, I'm going to say May until today, I've just had some post-traumatic growth, I would say. I understand that those people over there, that's their best advice that they can give a veteran. And that's their best advice because they didn't serve or do the things we do. What I need and what I experienced now in the last 6 months, I need to be around other veterans. And I'm around in a team of incredible veterans, people far better than me in everything, and they've inspired me to live another day. This is the actual therapy that I needed the whole time. I could have saved, 10, 15 years of doom and gloom stories had I been around the same type of veterans I am today. Veteran peer support, that's what it's all about. Veterans serving veterans.
Couldn't agree more, and I think we've always preached that on here. The thing that's interesting with the documentary, and I do think people should see it, the Chris Bell documentary, Leaf of Faith, is that so he talks about, and I've followed all this guy's documentaries. I mean, they're all amazing, but
Trophy Kids
was great. he talks about how previously when he did Prescription Thugs, he was on all these opioids and he got off them during the making of this documentary, and he had to, go to the Malibu rehab center where he would usually visit and tell them, hey, I'm on Kratom, but I'm completely sober. Is this accepted here? And it's weird because a lot of people are unaware of what it is, so they can't really give their take on it. Some people are like, hey, if it's helping you, that's great. I'm wondering, when you go to the VA and you say, hey, I'm not going to take these pills, but I'm using Kratom, what's their response?
It was a lot of backlash and using just any type of alternative therapy, even if we want to get into the topic of cannabis, it's the same thing. They had a closed mind. If we put this label on you, you need to take these drugs that's FDA approved, even though they're going to have side effects, you throwing up blood, you need to take it because they're FDA approved. And if you don't take them, that means you're not disabled. And I think that's a challenge. Instead of helping these veterans again when they're getting out the military, we're just drugging them up. And
that's
we're
just trying bad. To drug that's them just up bad medicine, away. Like across the board. That's just bad medicine.
Yes.
You have these negative side effects, and then they tell you, oh, if you stop taking them, you're not disabled.
I've been, it was the veteran peer support, being around my fellow veterans that helped me live without the medicine. I've been around a lot of Vietnam era veterans, and I understand that they suffered worse than I've ever suffered. But because of that, I've been able to better manage my life because of that. And I'm just a huge proponent, again, of veteran peer support. And again, now I'm able to help other veterans, even educate them about the Kratom, that they could find some relief. We're not going to get high. We're not going to have a good time. I'm not going to promise you all this, pie in the sky thing. But I can assure you that this is what I've done to come off all the zombie dope and to leave that worthless state of feelings that I felt so worthless about my life for so long. And, just being here in front of you guys today, man, I'm just filled with joy because that's what that Kratom has done. Give me a little bit of hope. I'm physically now off all those drugs and my mind is starting to come back. I can articulate words better. But prior to this, I was stuttering. It was like retardation going on. It was just a horrible experience, in my life.
Did your wife have any type of similar experience? Because as we mentioned, she's an Air Force vet. She's the co-founder of the organization. Has Kratom helped her?
Yeah, she found comfort in alcohol. So that's what we're understanding. Different people choose different self-destructive measures. For my GI issues, I couldn't drink, so I didn't have that a hurdle that I had overcome alcohol. But at that point, from she's leaving the military, having the things wrong with her internally as well, that was damaged to her, she felt comfort in the, oxycodone, things of that nature. She got caught up, and now the Kratom does help. Actually, too, for a lot of women, she tells, especially when they're on their menstruals, that actually gives women a lot of relief in the stomach region and all that. And, when you're taking some of the other medicine, it causes stomach irritation, but Kratoms allow you to be able to get that relief.
Well, the website is forgottennotgone.org, which has a link to all the social media. If people are in the Las Vegas area, what's interesting back actually is that I think next week is SHOT Show, right?
Yeah, that would make sense.
Yeah, so I would think there'd be some vets who want to hook up with you guys probably by the time this is up, but if people are in the area or live in the Vegas area, how could they get hooked up with you? And also, what do you have on the horizon?
Well, moving into our new location, the build out is happening as we speak. So February 3rd is supposed to be the actual, launch of the new location. We have three different veteran organizations in there. It's called the House of Fame, Las Vegas. And so we're going to be doing some great things for our community. And we're just excited. We're expanding, getting a few more bikes, and we're expanding our kids program. And that's what we're finding as well. In order to be able to reach the veteran, you got to take care of his family. And sometimes that veteran's in a certain mind frame, but if you could help their family get out the house as well, help their spouse, and that's what we do with our Recumbent Trikes, help the whole family. And that's how it helped the veterans move forward.
And what is the kids program exactly?
We have the same bicycles that we have, the three wheels. They're just smaller versions, but they're Recumbent Trikes. And we also have four-wheel bikes. We're actually a Berg bicycle dealer. So we have these four. We got a Army Jeep model four-wheel bicycle. We have one that fits actually up to a 250-pound person. It's designed for a kid, but it's fun when we take the kids' bikes, and we also race those as well.
Kids love that type of stuff. I mean, I'm always reminded, or at least it reminds me of when I was, you know, I remember getting, it was either like a birthday present or a Hanukkah present of the like miniature Jeep that I remember my grandpa got me.
Oh, really?
And there was like video of me screaming, "Pa got me the Jeep." It was like the greatest gift I ever got in my life. I'm sure there's a VHS somewhere, like my parents' house of that. But I'm sure like these kids love it. And then at the same time, you know, I think kids understand more than we sometimes realize, and you can make them aware of like, hey, this is what these guys do to sacrifice for our nation, and guys who are amputees and all that. There's a reason that they made that sacrifice, and it's important to let kids know that there's people protecting our freedoms out there.
Yeah, and the kids they need the help. You know, when their dad's working on themselves, going to the different treatments or in the meetings that they need to overcome their disabilities. The kids got to be somewhere. You know, you can't always bring your kids to the VA with you and go to your mental health appointment. But, you know, that's what we're doing here now. You know, you can bring your families over to us. We're a family organization. You'll see other veterans with their families, and we're just working on overcoming our self-limiting beliefs and our disabilities.
I also would assume if you're a veteran with, who's predisposed or any of that to alcohol or any substances like that, people would assume Vegas, like, not exactly the best place to live.
Yeah, and that's what we all get caught up here. When I was medically separated, instead of getting the help that I need, you find that help in the streets. And that's why we're spiraling out of control. That's why we're saying we're ground zero. You know, they say that we're Vegas strong. They raised over $20 million for that community when that incident happened, right? But look at our veteran community. We're dying daily. We're one of the highest suicide rates in the nation. Where's our nonprofit, housing center? You know, we don't have the resources we need at this point. We got $1 billion, new hospital, but there's not even a swimming pool. Where can I go for aquatics therapy? Where can I go as far as personal training, rehabilitation to start overcoming these physical limitations? It just doesn't exist.
Yeah, well said. Visit the website forgottennotgone.org. It's got a link to all the social media on there, the YouTube, so you could see you guys riding around and what it's all about. I don't know if you have anything else.
No.
This has been good, though. I mean, it's been educational to hear about Kratom and to hear the testimony from you, and it's just a positive story. I'm glad to see that you're doing well and that, that you're off of all of that, because there's way too many veterans we hear about who are, in a VA hospital somewhere or not leaving bed, or just, you see the guys on social media just honestly complaining all day.
And it's good to, just for my own edification, to find out that there's this alternative medicine, because when people come and ask me about it or get into conversations about it, I can point them in that direction as maybe that's something that can help them.
Yes, sir. And I'm working on, as we speak, I just talked to the people at Urban Ice last week. So I know they're coming out with a CBD blend, but I'm looking to partner up and figure out how we can get something for our veteran community at a better pricing point, something that we can market on our website to our local veterans to make it more affordable and attainable for the guys as well. We give out samples now, but I like to be able to make it more affordable as well for our veterans. So.
And last question, actually, I feel like you have your bias because you're an advocate for this, but is there any experience you have of someone that you introduced to Kratom and they said, this just isn't for me?
No, I, you know, personally haven't had it. But again, we the way that we speak of Kratom is in a different light. You know, again, all I'm saying is for, you know, over, you know, 4 years now, I've taken two pills and rode my bike. I've experienced some joy in my life. That's all I'm saying. So, you know, I couldn't tell you that. I didn't do that on oxycodone. I did some other self-destructive measures on that. But this has allowed me to start getting some joy and some respect back in my life. And I'm just grateful that I've been able to get access to a better quality of medicine now.
Have you ever gotten off of it for a little bit and said, hey, let me see if this is all just placebo?
Well, I don't have to take it every day. I usually reserve it for the actual times that I'm riding. And sometimes, like now, I've actually taken, you know, four caps at one time. I was real cautious and nervous, you know, about this, you know, hearing all the doom and gloom stuff. But, you know, even up to now when I'm in a lot of pain, I'll take four caps and go ride my bike. But that's specifically when I'm taking medicine or I have to take it, I want to do something after that, you know. So there's a lot of people now I know Kratom's now at the bodybuilding show, Mr. Olympia. They had a booth over there, and a lot of people started to use that as a pre-workout. I guess, you know, that's like the latest buzz, but I've been doing that 4 years ago. just two pills and get on my bike and go ride with my fellow veterans. It's literally that simple. I've done the same thing over and over, and here we are since November 2013, so it's been a dream come true.
Awesome, man. Well, appreciate you coming on with us, and thanks to your wife for setting this up for us. And, you know, if there's any advancements or anything going on in Vegas you want to let us know about, feel free to get in touch anytime.
All right. Thank you guys for your time. I appreciate it, and may the Lord bless you guys and have a wonderful day.
Thank you, Peter.
Thanks, Peter.
All right.
Appreciate it.
Keep the faith.
That was good, man. I was talking to Joe Lefebvre, who we just had on recently. Yep. And he heard me mention the Kratom thing on the show. So he was like, what's Kratom? I don't know anything about it. And he's like, I've been seeing it around ever since you mentioned it. I want to know more. And all I could say is like, oh, I saw the documentary, but I have no experience with it. I've never taken it. I can't speak of it positively or negatively. I'm aware that I saw a documentary of a guy who's an advocate for it. You know, if someone puts out a documentary for someone who's against it, I will watch that as well. But you really can't argue with a guy who, like, as he said, it was on these opioids, was throwing up blood, and is now functioning, is active, is meeting with other veterans. I mean, it's just hard to argue with.
Well, I mean, I made that comparison to, you know, medical marijuana, because the same thing is that marijuana can be used medicinally to help people who have conditions who are adversely affected by taking pharmaceuticals. So, I mean, this is something to keep in mind. I mean, maybe, you know, instead of taking painkillers or something, maybe this is an option. I don't know.
Yeah. But the crazy thing that he said is the idea that the VA will say, oh, well, you're no longer a disabled veteran if you're finding alternative ways to treat
this. If that's the case, I mean, that's fucking criminal. That's so wrong. It's not even funny.
Yeah. Maybe we could investigate that further. I mean, that sounds like a good investigative piece to me, because that definitely makes no sense.
I doubt they would fess up to that, if that's what a VA counselor said.
But if there's other guys out there with Peter's experience or people that he could refer us to, you know, and kind of validate that this is happening widespread, then that's certainly an issue.
Yeah. I mean, I had when I went to VA for the first time, actually to get treated for Lyme's disease, because I caught Lyme's not long after I came out of the Army. And there's a mandatory meeting you have to have with a social worker. And I was like, man, really? Okay. So I went in, had this meeting with her, and she was all like, how did you feel the first time you took a man's life? And I'm like, okay, I'm done here. Like, I'm not, like, it was just too much. She thought I was like fucking Johnny Rambo or something.
Yeah.
And that kind of turned me off to VA for quite a while.
I've heard similar stories from other people who are veterans of actually kind of the opposite type of thing. There's a guy who's a the son of a family friend of mine who was former military, and he had to go to some therapy. And he, from what I heard, I was talking to his father, you know, he was around with these other guys talking about their issues. And he was like, I can't relate to these people. Like, they haven't seen anything near what I've seen. But then eventually he went to another therapy group, and someone talked about killing a kid while in combat. Yeah. He's like, all right, I've never done anything like that, but at least like these people have an idea of what I've experienced.
Yeah, they were in the shit. And I mean, when I did give VA another chance, and went and talked to the shrink at the Manhattan VA office here. And, when I told her that story about my first experience with a social worker at VA, she was like horrified. She was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
But things went much better the second time around.
I mean, look, the CEO of this company, Brandon Weibel, he's talked about that yoga has helped him out for his back problems. You know, I see guys at the gym pretty regularly where I go who are amputees. I have no idea if they're former military. I haven't really talked about it, but, you know, they may be. If there's anything that's going to help you out, I that's not an opioid, that's not physically addictive, that's not claiming the life of people every day, I'm all for it. Whatever you want to do.
Yeah, it's worth giving it a shot. See if it works for you. You know, I had a tremendous amount of back pain when I came out of the military those first couple of years. And I went to the chiropractor once a week for a year, maybe. And then some more off and on the next year or two. And I don't really have any problems anymore.
That's great.
So, I mean, you got to find out what works for you, what's going to get you where you need to be.
Yeah. And as I said, I've never tried this, but at least from what I've seen, I don't think there's anything negative that could happen. I'm certainly not convinced that, a suicide of a guy who was taking kratom was necessarily connected. I mean, it reminds me of when I was a teenager and they put me on Accutane for acne, and I had to sign some release about that this causes like suicidal thoughts. And it was because one kid in college who was taking Accutane killed himself. I certainly didn't feel any different while taking it.
Correlation is not causation.
Yeah, exactly. But if someone has a successful lawsuit, then, you know, everybody taking this drug now is to sign a release form because just to cover their asses. Well, and, you know,
this morning I was watching to do a little bit of research prior to this. I was watching a Joe Rogan podcast where they're talking about kratom, and they're saying the kratom's not going to kill you.
Yeah.
You know, it's not dangerous in that regard for sure. But the guy he had on, the guest, he was saying, he's like, you know, when we set that bar, like, will it kill you or not? He's like, man, anything can kill you. Like, you can die having sex. You can die taking a crap. I mean, like, you get to the same point. I mean, I guess if you fucking kicked back and smoked kratom or popped kratom pills for a week straight and did nothing else, I mean, maybe it would kill you. I mean,
who knows?
Yeah.
Marijuana can't physically kill you. So
he was actually brought that up, and he said for marijuana to kill you, you'd have to smoke your own weight in marijuana.
Yeah. It's just not physically possible. No one's ever overdosed. Yeah,
it's not going to kill you.
Yeah. So I'm just glad to bring awareness, about this issue. Speaking of Joe Rogan, I can't wait to hear Mike Tyson on the Joe Rogan podcast.
Oh, is that he's having him on?
Yeah, he's been teasing that out, and I'm excited to hear Mike Tyson on his podcast, and I'm excited to hear Kanye West on his podcast.
Mike Tyson has fucking crazy stories.
I read his book. It was an experience. So
you remember when he, I think maybe he went on Howard Stern and he was talking about prison sex?
Yes, he did talk about that. There was a teacher there that he was like banging.
When the guests, the visitors come and they don't check you for crotchless panties.
Yep.
I was like, holy fuck.
And Mike Tyson was like treated like a celebrity in jail. So he got away with shit.
I'm sure.
But if you watch that documentary, and it's on Netflix as well, Tyson, it's a really good documentary. I would definitely recommend it. But crazier stuff happened to him after that documentary. The guy's just had a string of some bad luck and a lot of poor decision making. But remember his young daughter, I think, who was probably maybe 4 years old, getting choked by the extension cord on a treadmill and dying.
Holy shit.
Yeah, that was shortly after that documentary. So it's just like it was one thing after the other for this
Jesus
guy.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, and he seems like, for a guy who was so violent and so aggressive. And, you know, people have their opinion on whether he is a rapist or not. I mean, that's what he went to jail
for. He was convicted, yeah.
But he was certainly, without a doubt, like a sexually aggressive guy. He would say that himself in his book, and inappropriate. He proclaims his innocence, but he's definitely a very overly aggressive guy in that manner. If you see him now in interviews, he seems to have gone like the completely other direction.
Really?
He's this like very peaceful guy who doesn't. If it's actually, well, I suggest all you watch the documentary. I hope I'm not ruining anything here. I guess if you haven't seen this, you could, this might be a little bit of a spoiler alert, but they show his last fight and his interview after. And, you know, he gets beat by some, like, basically an amateur no one's ever heard of. And they're doing the post-interview fight. And he's just like, yeah, I don't have it in me anymore. I did this strictly for the money. I have some bills to pay. I don't have the fight in me anymore. You know, I don't think I'm going to do this anymore. It's embarrassing for the sport. And it's like you almost watch just a guy be this, you know, admittedly, like, this complete animal to this.
That's like a level of honesty you don't see, though. Like, you don't see, like, UFC fighters today or boxers today, like, just come out and say shit like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, the guy has made, between having a manager, Don King, who, at least according to him, stole a great deal of his money, and he talks about, like, in his book, like, literally throwing him out of a limo. Like, imagine Mike Tyson physically, like, while the limo's driving. but between that and then also living a ridiculously extravagant life where he's like, I want to buy a tiger. I want to buy this for my head. Like, shit that no one else would even think of buying. So
who's the other boxer you were telling me about who, like, people on Instagram would be like, why don't you go to Dubai, bro? And he'll just get on a plane and go.
I'm trying. I don't know.
Oh, a super famous guy. He fought Manny. What was that big?
You're talking about Mayweather?
Mayweather, yeah. Floyd Mayweather. Wasn't it you that was telling me that, like, he's like, just like his fans on Instagram will be like, oh, why don't you go to, you know, this country or that country, and he'll get on his private plane and go. Just go.
I mean, I don't think I'm the one who mentioned it, but I wouldn't find that hard to believe.
Oh, yeah. He's just got, like, stacks of cash.
Yeah, and he flaunts all of it. Yeah. You know, that's what a lot of these guys do. I mean, it's weird. We've talked about it before. The guy, he is one of those guys who's worth insane amounts of money. But most of the guys, at least I've met in my life, who are worth that type of money, are the opposite. They're extremely low profile. They don't flaunt it. I mean, the big examples I could think of are when I've met Steve Forbes. You would think he is a random guy walking the street. He does not have an entourage. Or prior to all the stuff that came out, I got to board up Harvey Weinstein and came in by himself. Was a very normal guy, seemed to me, before all we knew what Harvey Weinstein has done. But
I had this conversation with my wife a while back. I was like, look, like, if we hit the lottery, like, we're staying in the same apartment, and first off, we're going to claim the winnings through a private trust. Like, no, I'm not going to talk to anybody about it. I'm just going to keep doing the normal stuff I do, because, like, you get that money. You, like, I was raised in a normal middle class household. You know, I wasn't raised that way. Like having a butler, having someone who, like, does your dry cleaning and carries your bags. Like, it just makes me feel weird. Like, I don't want that lifestyle, and I wouldn't want it for my daughter either.
Yeah. And, you know, not the people who hit the lottery, but I could tell you around where I live. Like, I'm in, Nassau County, Long Island, but, like, Sands Point, which is right near me, which is, like, all those, like, mega mansions of Long Island. I see a lot of those people every day on the LIRR, and, like, they do not seem happy. They're, like, out of shape. They're working themselves to death. They're miserable, and they don't even really get to enjoy this massive house that they have, or, you know.
It's like when you have all of that, then you have to maintain it. And there, I think a lot of those people, there's just this constant fear of, like, losing it all.
Yeah. Bernie Madoff.
Well, that's an extreme example.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, like, I think I was saying on another podcast about how, like, there's all these hedge fund bros and stuff who are all into, they're like preppers. They're all into survivalism and having their, like, nuclear bunker out in the Pacific Northwest or whatever. And I think really it's like this fear that, like, you're just going to lose all of it. Like, the whole facade is just going to come crumbling down out from under you.
Yeah. Yeah. When I look at, I don't know if you've ever seen it. I mean, you can Google it, like, Oprah Winfrey's house. I know a lot of people would aspire to have something like that. But when I look at it, and you have, like, a, you know, full size movie theater in your house, full size gym in your house, full size tennis court, basketball court, and you have no reason to go anywhere, it's kind of weird. I mean, like, I'm pretty introverted. I spend a lot of time alone, but, like, seeing you when I come in here, going to the gym, talking to people that I regularly get to see and catch up with. Like, it's an important part of everyday interaction to have all this in my home and just have a staff of people who work for me. They're all probably essentially yes men. Yeah. It's got to be a weird. I don't envy that.
You turn into Howard Hughes, you know? Yeah, like Donald Trump. I mean, it's like you're surrounded by people who are telling you how great you are all the time.
Yeah,
how awesome you are! All your decisions are so smart. I mean, that'll go to your head, and I mean, it'll go to anybody's head because there's nobody there to be like, "Hey, dude, you're kind of fucked up right now.
Yeah,
maybe you don't want to do that."
But even just seeing other people every day, it's and hearing what they're up to, it's motivating for me. Part of the inspiration I get for working out and being able to push myself is seeing other people push themselves. If I did this in my house all the time, I don't know, it'd be totally different. Or going to a movie theater, the part of the experience is you get to go to like dinner with your friends and talk and catch up. Having all of this in my house, I couldn't really imagine it. Having a ball. So I do agree with you. I think if I hit the lottery, I would keep a pretty low profile, but it would be a lot of security. But I mean, I don't know, who wouldn't be tempted to buy some pretty cool shit? Not Mike Tyson style and buy like a tiger for my house, but I mean, if I had the disposable money, it'd be pretty tempting to buy a really awesome car.
You wouldn't have the baby giraffe?
No. Neverland Ranch like Michael Jackson had.
There are some little perks, sure, that I'd go for that make my life a little bit better, a little bit easier. Probably buy a nice vacation home somewhere. You know, maybe get the apartment in Paris. You know, why not? I like to travel. But, I couldn't imagine just living that kind of life, man. It'd be too weird for me.
Yeah.
And the things I buy, like the things I get like excited about buying is like books, like music stuff. There's nothing like buying a Rolls Royce. Like, what the fuck am I going to do with it?
You don't even really drive that much. I know you do have a car.
A little. We do have a car and we drive, you know, once in a while. I mean, not like daily commuting or anything, though.
Yeah. Brooklyn's kind of weird like that, man. And I mean, it's not like living in Manhattan, but, you know, but Brandon's talked about it before. It's kind of funny how he's like, I own these planes, don't own a car.
Living in this city, I mean, it wasn't my decision. My wife got the car. If it was up to me, probably we wouldn't even have it. I mean, it's good to have to get outside the city and go here, do this and that.
Yeah.
But you really don't want to drive around New York City if you don't have to, you know?
I would agree, man. Wrapping things up here, actually, I want to mention once again, we're running a contest this week, and I'll announce a winner on Tuesday. We have these Soft Rep Radio tumblers. I want to give one away, which, as you know, Jack's saying, coffee thermos, really heavy duty, though, really nicely made. And I have it next to at my computer with my desk. I have it next to the pen that Jeff Falkel did for us, the custom pens. And when I saw that, just next to it, it reminded me. I was like, I got to call Jeff Falkel and see what he's up to. So I actually called him yesterday, and he's doing all right. Had some injuries, but he's getting over it and is in better condition. But great guy. So it's just cool to have all this custom Soft Rep Radio stuff at my desk of people who are associated with the show. So, yeah, you can get one of those Soft Rep Radio tumblers. It's pretty much an exclusive item. So, and we'll throw in some Crate Club gear. We'll send it to the best email sent this week to softrep.radio@softrep.com. If you have a good question, a good comment, I'll choose one and I'll get that out to you. I'll announce a winner on the podcast we put up Wednesday. So get on that and also leave us a review on Apple Podcast. With that, be sure to check out Crate Club. We have different tiers of membership depending on how prepared you want to be. And gift options are available as well. Scott Whitner from the Loadout Room, Army Ranger Drew Wallace, who you've heard on the show, and all those other guys from Hurricane Media involved with Crate Club are putting together great gear, 100% custom made for us. Everything from sunglass cases to EDC bags and other manly products. It's a club for men, by men. You can check that all out at crateclub.us. Once again, that's crateclub.us. Also, as a reminder for all of those who are listening, now is the time to sign up for the Spec Ops channel. That's our channel that offers the most exclusive shows, documentaries, and interviews covering the most exciting military content today. The Spec Ops channel premiere show Training Cell follows former Special Operations Forces as they participate in the most advanced training in the country. Everything from shooting schools, defensive driving, jungle and winter warfare, climbing, and much more. Again, you can watch this content by subscribing to the Spec Ops channel at specopschannel.com and take advantage of a membership for only $4.99 a month. That's specopschannel.com. Sign up today. And we've been telling you all about the NewsRep Financial Report, exclusive information that you can act on today to secure a brighter future for tomorrow. The NewsRep Financial Report can help you discover new investment strategies in the defense sector. Defense industry stocks can be a lucrative investment if you buy at the right time. Our team of foreign policy, security, and military experts provide real-time intelligence for stocks based on global trends that affect financial markets in the national defense industry. By subscribing now, you'll get exclusive access to our industry expertise. The NewsRep Financial Newsletter Advantage, our team offers unmatched defense industry familiarity and expertise, unbiased knowledge of geopolitical trends, full access to NewsRep's foreign policy, security, and financial intelligence platform, access to our team of experts and analysts. Just go to the FinRep tab that's at the top of the NewsRep.com to sign up. That's FinRep on the NewsRep.com. And I think that about wraps it up. We have some great guests scheduled for the rest of the month. And yeah, man, anything else?
No, I think that's it.
Yep. So follow us at SoftRep Radio. Go like the Facebook page. Leave a review for us on Apple Podcast. All of that is appreciated. Of course, pre-order Murphy's Law. We're just a couple of months out. People are very excited for that. I saw Brandon tweeted something out about the book.
It's coming.
Yeah. I have it in my backpack once I get done with Carmen's book.
All right. Cool, man.
I'm going to get on it. I'd love to know what you think
of the book.
Yeah. I'm sure it's going to be great, man. Yeah, that about wraps it up. And check out the Power of Thought podcast. We have some new stuff coming up on that. We've been doing those every week. And we'll see you guys next episode.
You've been listening to SoftRep Radio. New episodes up every Wednesday and Friday. Follow the show on Instagram and Twitter at SoftRep Radio.